Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From Lower Manhattan, the center of the financial world, this is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning. I'm Jeff Greenfield, joined today by our contributors, Joe Nocera of the New York Times and Rana Faruhar of Time Magazine. Next week, the G8, nations from Germany to Japan, will gather here in the United States at Camp David and please don't turn the dial. This is important stuff. Your well-being, the fate of the American economy, and President Obama's fate could very much hinge on what happens in Europe in the near future. Joe Nocera, now that I've insisted it matters, you get to tell us why. Why should we care about what's going on over there?
Well, the answer is pretty simple. If we wind up in round two of a crisis in Europe that escalates and conflates and blows the whole thing up, it will have an impact on the United States that will make Lehman Brothers look like a cakewalk. It's really that simple. The economies are too interconnected. And, you know, Europe has calmed down a little. But recent events really have to make you scared. Greece is in revolt over the austerity program that's been imposed on them. France has a new president who wants to rip up the agreement that Europe just made. And the whole thing is really starting to look, to me anyway, pretty dangerous again.
You know, I agree with a lot of that. I think that the economies are very interlinked. We do about 20% of our trade with the Eurozone. I'm more worried, as I think Joe is, about a banking crisis. I don't think it's going to be a Lehman Brothers event. I think that back in November when the European Central Bank poured over $1 trillion into the economy, that they solved the kind of major blow-up problem. Now, if there was a complete breakup of the union in a disorderly way, that's possible. I think it's going to be more like a slow sinking of the Titanic. And the other point that I would make is that there's actually a political crisis that sort of mirrors each other in both the U.S. and Europe. In the U.S., we have political gridlock, so we can't really make the proper economic decisions. In Europe, they don't have the political institutions to make the proper economic decisions. And I think that the lesson that we can take, though, from Europe is that austerity isn't necessarily working. You can't starve your way to growth. You've got to have a balance between spending and job-related spending and cuts.
Joe, is there a direct parallel of sorts between what's going on in Europe with the different countries' views and what's going on here between the political parties, the Republicans' view of austerity or spending cuts, the Democrats' view of stimulating the economy with perhaps more spending?
Well, on some level, the Republicans are like Germany. The Republicans are calling for shrinking government and cutting spending and taking difficult, painful austerity measures. That is what Germany has been arguing for the rest of Europe. The Democrats are like Greece and the countries that basically believe that austerity is going to kill them and is in fact killing them. And so there is that parallel. The difference is that in Europe, these are ultimately independent countries that are going to be able to make independent democratic decisions about their future, even if they are in a Eurozone. And Greece may, in fact, exit the Eurozone. In the United States, we have a collection of states that cannot act independent economically from the federal government. And so from our point of view, for the U.S. point of view, we're just kind of all in this together trying to muddle through, whereas in Europe, they're all making these democratic decisions about what they want their future to be.
Well, speaking of turmoil, let's turn to the United States and speak about turmoil in the case of a particular CEO. We learned that Scott Thompson, the CEO of Yahoo, had padded his resume, claiming degrees in accounting and computer science when he actually only got one in accounting. I should mention, I write a weekly column for Yahoo News, or at least did so until we began this conversation. Rana, let me raise a question about padding resumes that I raised in my Nobel Peace Prize acceptance speech. It is so easy these days to check people's bios on Google, on Yahoo itself. Why do people do it?
It is amazing to me. I mean, the problem is, of course, as old as the ages. I mean, you know, the first rule when you're coming out of school is you don't put something on your resume if it didn't happen. So it's sort of amazing to me that this happened, particularly in the digital age, because as you say, it is so easy just to Google and check. I guess they did a Yahoo search, not a Google search. But, you know, the other point that I would make is that I think this case underscores this rise of more activist investors, because this was brought up by a hedge fund guy who has an agenda for Yahoo, wants to get more involved. I think we're going to see a lot more CEOs and boards and companies under the microscopes as investors become more active.
Could I make a distinction here, Joe, and see if you agree? Okay, you embellish your resume about something that happened 25 years ago, and then you have a record that shows that you actually do know this field. Compared to, say, exaggerating a company's likely profitability, are we talking about a misdemeanor rather than a felony?
Well, even if it is a misdemeanor, and in those terms, yes, it is. It's certainly much worse to be doctoring your financials than your resume. It shows a character problem in the CEO. It's the same reason on some level that Mark Hurd got thrown out of HP. It wasn't that he was having a flirtatious relationship with a female contractor. It was that he lied about it. And so here you have a case where a CEO comes in saying he's done one thing and he actually hasn't done it. I do think that is a problem.
Okay. Finally, as we do each week, we're going to look ahead to next week with me again, Rana Faruhar of Time Magazine and Joe Nocera of The New York Times. Rana, what is on your radar?
I've been thinking a lot about patent wars. There's some high-profile cases going on in Silicon Valley right now. In particular, there's a fight between Yahoo and Facebook. And at the center of all this are patents. And patents, of course, are important for protecting ideas, and they help innovation. They ultimately help create jobs. But they're being used now in these very unproductive wars in which companies are buying up patents to prevent other companies from actually innovating and creating new jobs and new ideas. And, you know, by some estimates, there's actually something like $20 billion being spent on these wars per year. So I think that this is really an issue in when we think about job creation going forward.
Joe, peer into your crystal ball for us.
Well, this coming Tuesday, the United States Postal Service is going to announce a plan to consolidate its mail processing centers. It has about 450 of them now, and it has announced, it's on record as saying it would like to get that number down to 250. The U.S. Postal Service has gigantic problems. First-class mail is dwindling. It's losing $36 million a day. It's on target to lose $9 billion this year. And yet every time it tries to do something like this, a sensible business move to help save its business, Congress steps in and stops it. And my guess is, on Tuesday, the number of plants that it closes will be nowhere near the 200-plus that it wants.
Well, we'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at wnyc.org/business. You can also take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes, which, by the way, has put this segment, Money Talking, on its What's Hot list. Thanks for that. I'm Jeff Greenfield. This is Money Talking from WNYC.